Evening, Saints. Let's stand and turn to Psalm 62 as we start the service. Not much by way of announcements. We do have Brother Alex again on Sunday. We're looking forward to that. Psalm 62 will be verses 1 through 5. Psalm 62, starting in verse 1. Truly my soul waiteth upon God, from him cometh my salvation.
He only is my rock and my salvation, he is my defense, I shall not be greatly moved.
How long will you imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you, and as a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Amen. Are you only counting on him? We have come into his house, gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into his house, gathered in Christ our Lord. Just set your expectations on him. So forget about yourself, concentrate on him and worship him. So forget about yourself, concentrate on him and worship him. So forget about yourself, concentrate on him and worship Christ our Lord. Oh, worship him, Jesus Christ our Lord. Just worship him, saints. Let us lift up holy hands, magnify his name and worship him. Let us lift up holy hands, magnify his name and worship him. Let us lift up holy hands, magnify his name and worship Christ our Lord. Oh, worship him, Jesus Christ our Lord. Are you here to magnify him? We have come into his house to magnify his name and worship him. We have come into his house magnify his name and worship him. We have come into his house to magnify his name and worship Christ our Lord. Oh, worship him, Jesus Christ our Lord. Isn't he worthy of it, saints? Praise his name. We don't have any testimonies or prayer requests or anything, so as Brother Ken, if you'd come forward. But I still, we are few in number, but praise God, still more than enough than what he said. He said two or three is all it takes. And so we're just coming here to hear from him and whatever he has for us. Just pray, Lord, there's something I'm here to get, and I just pray you help me out with that, as Brother Steve leads us in prayer. Amen. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. I fixed it up with Jesus so many years ago. I know he'll see me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just over in the glory land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. The songs of sweetest praise drip back from heaven's shore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world. One more time. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Amen. Looking forward to when it don't have to be home, we can actually be home. 'Cause what a day that will be when my Jesus. Jesus I shall see when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand, leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand, leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. One more time, saints. Just think about it. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Aren't you looking forward to that time because of everything he's done for us? I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joined heirs with Jesus as we travel. For I'm part of the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joined hands with Jesus as we travel this side. Just thank him, saints. For I'm part of the family of God. Praise his name. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen, saints. We're going to turn into the book of Luke so you can get warmed up there. Go to Luke 6. That's where we're going to start. Remember Brother Andrew? He's actually speaking at Brother Fred's tonight. So we're going to read a couple chapters, or not a couple verses, I'm sorry. Luke 6, verse 37 and 38. Luke 7, or 6, 37 and 38. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall man give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. My title is, Are You Forgiven? Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, that through the reading of your scriptures, Lord, and the different experiences in my life, Lord, I can project to the people, Lord, that they may understand that they are forgiven and that they can walk as perfect as you did on this earth, and that by having Jesus Christ in their life, there is now no condemnation. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, what I did with this verse is we read out of the King James Version. But many years ago, a preacher used to read out of the Amplified Bible after he read his text. And so I picked that up, and then I also picked up another version, the Message Bible. And I want to read, if you don't know about the Amplified Bible, it's a Bible that puts a bunch of synonyms past everything. So here's the same verses, but in Amplified. Do not judge others self-righteously, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others when you are guilty and unrepentant, and you will not be condemned for your hypocrisy. Pardon others when they truly repent and change, and you will be pardoned when you truly repent and change. Number 38, give and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over with no space left for more. For with the standard of measurement you use when you do good to others, you will be measured to you in return. I was like, I like that, you know. So that kind of gave me the whole thing. Well, I need to pour out more to whoever I'm around. Here's the Message version of it, the Message Bible. Don't pick on people. Jump on their failures. Criticize their faults unless, of course, you want the same treatment. Don't condemn those who are down. That hardness can boomerang. Be easy on people. You will find life a lot easier. Give away your life and you will find life given back. But not merely given back with bonus and blessing. Giving, not getting, is the way. Generosity begets generosity. So I thought that was a different way to look at that scripture as to some a little more simplified version, because once again, I didn't know if there would be other younger people in here, because that makes sense a little bit more to those. And what made me think of this is years ago when I was in, most of you don't know what the Seven Thunders were, Brother Kent does, but and he knows Mike Bauer. And Mike was the guy that ran the PA system, but he had some classes and stuff that were incorporated in his degree that he was a music protege, basically. And he sang pretty much opera type stuff, Brother Kent, like that. He didn't have enough passion for me, okay? And so him and I were always at odds, because I was a very passionate person when it came to singing. We had a group that had seven people in it. Of course, my first wife played the piano and I played bass, and two of the singers played instruments, and we had a violin and all kind of stuff. And we used to travel to even denominational churches and sing. And we used to sing at the conventions where there's 2,000 people. And I can tell you that when you're singing in front of a crowd that big, the pump and the pride that comes along with it is terrible, okay? I had no mentor to help me out, because nobody understood what we were going through when... Because a lot of people would sing and maybe not get the reaction, but when our group would sing, the whole place would be standing up, 2,000 people just their hands over their head going like this, and I got lifted up in a lot of pride, okay? And so I thought I knew more than anybody else. And so Brother Mike and I were at odds about a lot of stuff, and then everything kind of fell apart. Well, when I came back to the Lord, I was reading this exact scripture, sitting in my chair. And I thought, and I read through there, and I stopped, and I said, God, the only thing I can remember is that Brother Mike and I had a problem, and I pray that you would forgive me. I don't even remember what it's about. I don't even know what it's about anymore. You know, it's been 10 years, 15 years at this point. I said, but if you ever give me the chance, I will apologize to him. 15 years later, Brother Tom closes the church that we were going to, because we had started going to a church that Brother Tom had. And remember now, I came out of a church of 200 pluses, and when I found Brother Tom later, he was his two daughters, Brother Kent, and then we started going, driving from here to Angola every Sunday, hour and 20 minutes, because it was the only place I could find that, and we had went to other churches, but that was the only one I could find that was actually truth. And Brother Tom had a heart attack. Now think about this stuff, all right? These things happen for a reason. It seems bad, but it's not, okay? Brother Tom had a heart attack, and he felt like he couldn't physically keep up any longer. So he said, I'm going to close the church, Brother James. You know, he was always honest with us. At that point, you know, God had beat the poor man up to death, so he had learned his lesson quite a bit. So we went to numerous churches, and there's a lot of them because Betty has a broken eardrum and stuff. I'm like, I can't take her there. And the wild talk and stuff like that. So I decided to go to Believers Christian Fellowship in Lima because my cousins went there. And I figured at least we could go out to lunch with them because I didn't know what to do. Justin's only about 10 years old at the time, 11, 12 maybe. And so we went there. Well, guess who was there? Brother Mike. And he was the music director for BCF. Now, BCF was a church of 500 people. And as soon as I seen him, I greeted him. He goes, oh, Brother James, how you doing? I'm like, great, Brother Mike. Right away, I didn't even let one handshake go by. I said, I don't know why, but I felt like I was always at odds with you, and I'm sorry. He goes, I don't know, Brother James, either. God bless you, you're forgiven. And I can tell you that the minute that I decided to do that, and that was like 6-7 years before I did that, but I had never known that I was carrying that weight around. And it just lifted off of me because God knew I was serious. Amen. I was at Sauter's in 2007, riding around talking to one of the other maintenance guys. And he confided in me. We talk about the Lord quite a bit. I'm not kind of like you, Sister Amanda. When I have the opportunity, I just start. God's my favorite subject, okay? And Sean was his name. And after many times of talking about the Lord in different ways, he goes, he didn't call me James, called me Jim. At work, they call me Jim. That's how you know the difference. Someone says Jim, it's a work person. He says, I cheated on my wife 8 years ago because I've never told no one till you. He goes, I've repented to God, but I can't let it go. I don't know what's the matter. I said, I just took up what Brother Branham told that other woman when she came to his house. I said, Sean, you didn't cheat against God. You have nothing to apologize to him for. You cheated against her. You promised her to be faithful. And he goes, man, I can't tell her. It's been 8 years. He goes, I said, well, that's all I can tell you. That's the problem. And it wasn't something that I knew. It was something I learned, you know. 3 days later, he comes in, just as happy as could be. We got alone again. He goes, I told her. He goes, she forgave me. He goes, and I can't tell you the difference that I feel. And so I knew that feeling because I had went through that. And so then Mark 11 come to me. And whenever you stand praying, Mark 11, 25. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Didn't even say to wait for someone else to come and tell you. If you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you of your trespass. You don't even got a chance unless you're doing this. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. You have to remember, I brought up Brother Tom. Him and I was the song leader at that church. Youth leader, sung in front of everything, the group. I ran the group that traveled. I did all the organizing for all the youth and everything else. And Brother Tom had bought me suits so that I looked right at the meetings. Well, I knew a deacon back there that couldn't afford a suit. And so I went to him and I says, this isn't right. And so we got kind of at odds, and it was before a Sunday service. He says, well, either you're for me or you're against me. I said, well, I'm against you. He goes, well, you can't never go up to the pulpit again. I said, no problem. I don't have no problem with that. I'm pretty callous person, okay? So I'm sorry for that, but that's It's Jesus or nothing to me. You know, it's either the Bible or I don't have nothing to do it. And so we parted ways. When I found him again, because I'd went to Betty is the one that talked me into going to the Church of God, and that's just and the only and when we were there for 4 years, they made me a bass guitar player, and I was just having fun. But you know, once again, I'm not going to get into the story, but I thought the rapture was over. And I thought, and I was just going to hell anyway, so I'm just having as much fun as I can. Well, we're doing it at a church, who cares? I'm still playing guitar, you know. But as he kept telling stuff, and then I told this to the brother Sunday, Betty understood serpent seed in a minute and a half, and he preached a whole half an hour service on it and didn't make no sense. So in a minute and a half, I taught her serpent seed by throwing her three scriptures. And the next thing I thought of was, how is that possible? If the rapture's over, Jesus is not here. People will think they're getting saved. People will think they're worshiping God. They will still jump up and down and raise their hands, but there's no revelation. Right. How did she get that revelation? That's impossible. Good. And so I begin to think, well, wait a minute. The prophet said that just like in the church ages, everything kind of transitions in. You know, one kind of goes kind of gray and the other one comes out of the gray and turns black and white. You know, kind of the fade in, fade out kind of thing from the church ages. And the rapture would happen, and then the tribulation would kind of fade in, and everybody would say, well, what happened? We're supposed to have a rapture. Why is everything getting bad now? Well, it's already over, and you don't even know it, because it's a thief in the night. Not a big, airplane falling out of the sky or something like that. That's not it at all. How did she get that? Then I started looking, and I went to numerous message churches. We will let them go unnamed. But remember the story that Brother Branham told about the soldier that was dying, and the minister that was on the battlefield came up to him and he goes, look, son, you're dying. You need to find God right now. He goes, I don't know God. I don't remember. He goes, go find him where you left him. And he watched him as his mental thing took him back. He had left him as a little boy on his bedside. And when he found God, smile came on his face and he died. So when I thought of that story, I thought, I got to go back and find Brother Tom. Because at least we need to reconcile. Amen. And when I went to that church, Betty knew I was going to go. And I said, I'm going to go alone. She goes, yeah, you go. Which she regretted this for a while. She told me when we left that Church of God, I said, I'm leaving. I know God somewhere. I got to go find him. She goes, well, you go find him and I'll come. Well, eventually she told me, you're just running like a crazy person. I don't even know where you're going. And just hold on, honey. We'll get there, you know. And I went up there and I felt the Holy Spirit as soon as I walked in. I hadn't felt him in years. Well, as soon as I felt him, I'm like, okay, we can do something here. And of course, most of that's another story, but we reconciled and because of what God had beat him to death, my family got saved through their family. Because Sister Mary just, I don't know, she was like a big fuzzy bunny, just bringing Betty along, you know. It was amazing to watch. But I always see that kind of with Sister Amanda now, you know. That Betty does the same thing with her. And just kept bringing her along, and then one day she got it. Amen. Matthew 18:21. It's a little lengthy here. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saying to them, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. 490 times a day. Just for you math wizards. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he could not pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had in payment made. That's what Satan is trying to do to you every day of your life. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion, loosed him, and forgave him that debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which he owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay me what thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and beside him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest of me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him unto the tormentors till he should pay all that was due him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do to you also, unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Don't hold it. Just let it go. Amen. There is nothing worth. Do you know how many people hold grudges and go to hell for it? They are saying, Brother Kent, what you did to me is so bad, I'm willing to go to hell for you because I don't want to forgive you. Isn't that what he just said?
Yeah.
Is hell worth holding the grudge?
No way.
Is it not forgiving? How hard is that to do? Sister Jody, I forgive you. Thank you. That's it. And that is all that this scripture is. And people will hold on to that for years and personally choose to go to hell just for that. Who does that include? What about your family at Thanksgiving? How many grudges do you have around the table that you all know about? Sister Amanda thought that our family was just putting on. She was thinking we were weirdos, you know, we're putting on this big show. And then she found out that we just like each other. And she wasn't used to that, you know. I'm sure people don't think that Steve and Jody like each other like they do either. Yeah. Yeah. Love Brother Kent. Doesn't everybody love Brother Kent too? Yeah. Amen. What about your coworker? Oh, they're not working as hard as me. They take breaks. They smoke out back and get extra breaks. Personally, I've been a manager for a lot of years. I try not to hire smokers for that reason. How about your past church? The church you came out of or the church that you left, are you willing to forgive those people? I had to.
Amen.
And once I did it, I can tell you that my life was easy after that. All the burdens gone, all the thoughts gone, all the little demons that are, you know, skeletons in your head, they just disappear. It's wonderful. How about your present church?
Right.
You know, it doesn't matter what they say against you. Jesus forgave you. Forgive them and go on. Right. Walk on. Or even as simple as the McDonald's line. Here's another little lengthy reading, but this is out of Marriage and Divorce. Towards the end. In 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, in the 12th and 15th verse, in the New Testament prophet Paul, who met the same thing in his church and spoke, this is I, not the Lord. That right? Because of the divorce conditions. It wasn't so from the beginning, but Moses permitted it and God recognized his righteousness. Paul also had a right when he found his church in that condition. Now you believe this to be true and you believe it to come from God. And by the vindication of his cloud and his message that's brought me this far, should not God upon the mountain permit me to do the same thing, to suffer you to go on the way you are and do it no more. Go with your wives, live in peace, for the hour is late. The coming of the Lord is at hand. We haven't got time to break these things up. Don't try to do it again. I am speaking only to my congregation. This is only for the bride. That was Brother Branham's congregation. He was to get a bride ready. But if you are married, and God bore me witness to that on the mountain, that I could say this, a supernatural revelation because of the opening of the seven seals, and this is a question in God's words, let them go on, and they are as they are, and sin no more. It wasn't so from the beginning. That is right. It wasn't so. And it will not be at the end. But under modern conditions, as God's servant, I won't call myself his prophet, but I believe maybe if I wouldn't be sent for that, I'm laying ground for him that is dead. So under the modern conditions, I command you to go to your home with your wife now. You are happy with her, live with her, raise your children in the admonition of God, but God be merciful to you if you ever do it again. You teach your children to never do a thing like that and bring them up in the admonition of God. And now that you are as you are, let us go now. For at the late hour, evening hour that we're living in, and press towards the mark of the high calling of Christ, where all things are possible. Remember? I thought I was in hell. I thought I was going to hell. So when Betty and I ran into each other, doesn't matter. I know I shouldn't marry her. I know I shouldn't hang out with her. But we're going to hell. So I must also enjoy it, make her life enjoyable, help her with Brandy. She can help me with my kids. And we liked each other. At the time, you know, I was divorced. Half my money was going to child support. So it wasn't like I had a lot of money. You know, I didn't have a position in a church like my first wife met me. I was playing guitar and all kind of stuff in a church. So she just had to light me for me. I'm like, well, that's a pretty good deal. You know, I never had anyone like that. I personally told her this a few years ago, that I really never thought that anybody could love somebody better than your own mother. I figured your own mother was the only one that loved you the most. But I found out that that wasn't true. I found a woman that actually loved me more than my mom did. For years, after the Lord started, he came right down here on Main Street when I told him I just missed him. And he came and put his arm around me on my bed. From that point on, I was trying to figure out how we could stay married. Because the Bible says that he that marrieth a woman like that committeth adultery. It doesn't say that you committed adultery. It says committeth. That means it's continual. I'm like, I don't know. And so I hung on to this for the longest time. And I told her, before she even believed that Brother Branham was a prophet, I said, we have no choice. If we don't stay with the word 100%, we don't have a shot at heaven because we are one degree off. And one degree will miss the door easily. Then this scripture popped up the other day while I was reading the New Testament and the Gospels. Mark 12:31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blaspheming against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Everything is forgivable.
Amen.
Never underestimate the blood of Jesus Christ. At the end of Respects, Brother Neville gave a prophecy. Yea, I say unto thee this night, my people, that I have called thine attention upon this special occasion to understand the things which I say unto thee this night concerning my ministry. Yea, I say this night, thou hast well done, that thou hast heard my voice and heeded my servant. Remember, Brother Branham just got done preaching Respects, respecting who God sends, as he has spoken to these night. For this night again I have vindicated the office of his ministry, yea, even my servant and my prophet that I have brought into thy presence. Lo, these two times this day I say, let thine heart this night melt within thee, because I am revealing in this night service and through this day I am again revealing unto thee the office of my prophet in this day. Yea, reward thee with many things that shall come into thy house. And yea, I will care for thee as a tender father careth for his children. And lo, my servant this night, yea, I have again lifted thee up in the eyes of these people who have looked unto thee. And I say, my servant, yea, I have been with thee, and yea, I will continue to be with thee upon thee as I bestow in these things that follow the office of thy prophet. Yea, I say that I shall bless thee in many things and many places. I say tonight, I confirm at this time again in the hearts of the people that, yea, this is the time that we should settle these issues, that thou should see my people. Open thine eyes, here it is, open thine eyes and receive it this night, for I say that I am amongst thee to bless thee exceedingly. Though I thin the ranks daily, because some shall not believe, hear me this night and turn your heart toward me, toward the office of my prophet, saith, thus saith the Lord. So as the ranks thin, you may have to forgive more often.
Amen. That's good.
Many people will hold a preacher or a pastor or somebody to some higher standard. And I know there's a version of that fits that criteria. But it's not a higher standard of a Christian. Because every Christian that's standing here tonight has this, Matthew 5:48. Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven perfect. You have to be as perfect as Jesus, and so does any preacher, any deacon, any musician. The person sat beside you has the same commission as a child of God to be perfect. And you can only do that by being covered in the blood of Christ, wrapped in His Word. Many times we prayed tonight, think about this. If you don't feel forgiven, get it settled tonight, because you are. Many people will say, Lord, change your will for me, instead of, Lord, do your will in me. So are you forgiven? Say tonight, Lord, whatever you got to tell Him, thank you, Lord, I am forgiven. He wasn't looking at me when He took me in. He wasn't looking at my heart that was black by sin. He was looking at the blood flowing rich and free. That precious blood that covers me. One more time. He wasn't looking at me when He took me in. He wasn't looking at my heart that was black by sin. He was looking at the blood flowing rich and free. That precious blood that covers me. God bless you all.